Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop role-playing podcast. Hi, I'm Cap, and I play Jamella.
I'm Rule.
He's the Game Master.
No, I'm not.
Hi, I'm Colin. I play Bartholomew Elfgar Gleeman, the somewhat werewolfy rogue.
Hi, I'm Lefty Lucy, and I play Lefty, the pirate queen of sorts.
Hey, I'm Doug, and I'm playing Bogo, a barbarian with a tender heart.
What are we crunching today, everybody?
You send me this crazy black, really scary looking bag.
Yeah. Well, we're going into a black, scary looking forest, so you have a black, scary looking bag there. And what that is, Colin and Lefty, is the most coveted Dorito flavor internationally of 2016.
What?
That is the Halloween garlic pepper Dorito.
Ooh. Oh, shoot.
Wow.
I do like how spooky the bag is.
It has a Dracula on it and some bats.
And a menacing castle.
And boy, I sure would love to share that with you guys in the studio. But unfortunately, out of the three bags I ordered, one of them ruptured. We took one for the team, sent them out to Colin and Lefty.
Holy shit.
I ate the remnants of the bag. The ones in the bottom of it weren't too stale. I can attest that this chip is amazing. It's worth all the hype. But I'm sorry. But don't worry.
Okay.
We have something that they don't have, but I'll let these guys try this out first.
All right, here we go. I'm opening the bag, and in the way in which you can only open the Japanese bags now. From
the tab.
Yep.
They smell great.
Oh, they smell so good. It kind of smells like a steak. You know what I mean? Like the seasoning you put on a steak.
Yeah, totally. All right, are you ready to crunch?
Oh, I'm ready to crunch.
Come on, it in my mouth and not my nose.
Here we go. Right. 3, 2, 1. Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Okay, paying for this later.
Hello, delicious corn chip.
Rule, what do we got?
Oh, the garlic.
It's just the turd flavored Doritos.
No, guys, the garlic.
Because I don't have anything like that.
Oh, really
turd like. The garlic is great.
Oh, the garlic
is. It tastes like an actual corn chip. Like, you can taste the Dorito. You can taste the chip. You can taste the garlic. You can taste the pepper.
Oh, man. Like,
this is a win.
The pepper is not, like, crazy overpowering. It's a really nice balance of flavor between the garlic and the pepper. But the garlic has that nice, savory garlic taste. This is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sold out several times over. I tried to get a refund, try to get a replacement. I got a refund. I didn't get a replacement because they were sold out internationally.
This is, but it's like, you know how the Japanese chips have that slight sweet taste to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this adds, like, this harnesses the power of that slight sweet taste with the garlic and the pepper, and it's just, like, comes together in this delicious, like, celebration in your mouth. Quinoa.
That's a deep cut.
Okay. So while you guys are enjoying that, I do have something that we don't have shareable quantities of. So we got a studio exclusive here. So enjoy that. Maybe this will be better. I have a letter here from Evan Baumel, a.k.a. No Namer. He says, 3.5 years ago, I sent Dungeons and Doritos the sausage-flavored Doritos from Japan. At that point in my life, I'd listened to you for years, but had yet to make a donation. I'd just failed chemistry and was somewhat lost in terms of where my future would take me. Since then, I graduated from college, got a good-paying full-time job, wrote a book, traveled to Israel, and became a Patreon backer for Nerdy Show and Lightning nice. Dogs.
Woo. Wow.
It's great to see Nerdy Show grow over the years, adding shows such as Ghostbusters Resurrection, Friday Night Fan Fiction, Lightning Dogs, Liberty, and The Orphans. It's also great to finally have the income to provide the support you guys need to sustain the great content that you fine nerds produce. Anyways, on to the Doritos. He sent us an entire box of Doritos scavenged from Israel.
Whoa,
every flavor and available in that nation, it has to be, because this box is a treasure trove. I'm kicking it over to Doug here.
Whoa, guys. They're written in the Star Wars Orabesh.
These Doritos bought throughout Israel with sightings in Sfad, Tel Aviv, Eilat, and Jerusalem. While none should have the wacky flavors that Japan is home to, there are some interesting variations in the traditional Doritos we know in the U.S. I've only tried the orange bag, which is some type of cheese coating, and the yellow bag, the legendary flavorless Doritos. I gift these treats from the Holy Land to you with the hope that you may one day visit this beautiful land that many Jews and Muslims call home. Unfortunately, the Israeli-Palestine conflict is enormously complex and is often made worse by misunderstandings from allies on both sides. I urge your listeners to try to truly understand the perspectives from all sides. Perhaps nerdy mediums such as comics, video, and board games, science, and technology could be a venue for the peace we seek. Stay well, have fun, keep being nerdy. Evan Baumel.
Wow, this is a ridiculous amount of
there's
chips.
There's like this weird skinny bag. Like it's like
the narrow bag.
Yeah, really narrow bag.
Which I believe are full of tiny Doritos that like from Doritos Mix from Japan and also America.
I mean, that flute.
He also says, P.S. I'd also like to give you a signed copy of my book, Broken Mast, Changing Course for the Capitalist Ship, available on Amazon, Kindle, and iBooks.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. So cool. Thank you so much.
And he wrote inside, "To Nerdy Show, thanks for the entertainment you have provided to me over the years."
What an awesome guy. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's he's a true Roosevelt.
You can get this book on Amazon through our links.
Yep,
we'll
sure
throw
can.
It up there.
Awesome. One true punch. Roosevelt. Help a fellow fan, help Nerdy Show at the same time. Aces. Now, what I'm holding here is the flavor I'm most excited about out of this Israeli haul, and that is what appears to be Supreme Pizza Doritos.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's the first one.
This is what I think it is an old-time American Dorito delicacy that's long been away from our shores. What is this?
Wait, there's a packet inside?
There's something inside the
bag. Is it a
prize? I don't know what it is. Doug, can you open this up?
It's got Star Wars right on it.
Is there flavor within the flavor?
Oh
my god, extra flavor powder.
Is this like that?
Oh, yeah,
No. What if it's like that, the pepper stuff that you sprinkle on a pizza?
Oh, that would be crazy.
It smells like pepper. I'm getting a huge whiff of something.
I can attest to the base flavor being a pepperoni pizza kind of thing. Dump that powder on there. Let's see what happens.
Let me try one without.
Let's try one without.
Because that could be like that stuff that they put in other packaging that is just like, like in sneakers and stuff.
Keep the freshness. It really says, do not put this on the food.
If you even open this, you will all die.
Listen, I'm going to shake it. Listen. So there's definitely like...
This is really good.
All right, I'm gonna open this, and I'm going to give it a sniff, and I'll tell you what if it smells like. This little packet smells definitely like a pepper. It's careful not to drop
it. Oh, it's to spice it up.
Yeah.
It's to make it spicy.
And I'm going to try the chip plain first. Let's try it just plain.
Okay.
Yeah, just toss that in the bag and then shake up the bag, and then we'll all die together.
Dude, shake. No, that's it. You pour it in the bag, then shake the bag.
Yeah.
That has to be.
Well, that's what it says. You can't read that?
But it's not. It's not in basic. I don't know. pouring it in. Here we go.
Cap.
Yes.
Lick the chip. Trust me.
Lick the
lick
chip.
The chip.
All right. Okay. Now we're
so
gonna
fold
shake
that down.
Yeah.
Yep.
After years folding of Doritos tasting.
Shaking it.
Way to do it.
Make sure it gets good.
So
thorough.
It is. That's what it's an extra
is
packet
no.
of flavor dust.
There's no instruction on the back. No pictured instruction. I mean, there's written stuff, but who knows? Shaking it.
Only Americans need pictures as well as the writing to know that. Or no. You pour it in there and shake it up.
My guess for the other bags, we haven't tried them yet. Salsa verde, spicy sweet chili, toasted corn. They have the same design, color, everything, just not the same language as the American chips. I think they're the same. We haven't tried them yet.
That tastes great.
What does it taste like?
Pass it on over
it's,
here.
It
tastes like a Supreme pizza.
Yeah, it tastes like a pizza, but not like... Here,
it's even better than the pizza-flavored Doritos that we used to have.
That's great. It tastes like you eat a pizza, and then you got the breadstick left over, and you dip it in the sauce, and you eat that.
That's really crazy. It added a little bit of cheesiness, yeah. A little bit more sausage kind of flavor to it.
Oh, it's way better than that black bag, whatever they were eating. It's so good, you guys.
Yeah, nice try,
this
sucker.
Is epic.
Not only is our Dorito awesome in flavor, but it's goth. So we win.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got pizza.
Well, ours is Star Wars themed.
I got a Supreme pizza in my freezer right now,
bro. It's Star Wars pizza.
I'm opening a two-in-a-bag flavor right now that looks like it's nacho and some kind of crazy spice, but I don't know.
And then after this, we'll do the yellow flavorless to see what the legendary flavorless...
Oh, this is barbecue somehow.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. We'll get a little smoky, a little bit.
Is there a packet, a flavor packet?
Not in that one.
I wonder what makes that one, like, special.
It's got a big pizza on the front. Here, and I'm going to... All right, so this is...
Cap, did you lick the chip? Did you, like, let it fall on your tongue?
So what do you got there?
I sure did. I have a black bag with the spicy pepper on it, and the chips are on fire.
All right, I'll try that one, then we got to do the yellow flavorless.
We're not going to get through all of this.
We got to get to the adventure.
I know.
We know what toasted corn tastes like. I mean, you don't, but you'll find out.
I think we should save... we got three, four bags open already.
Yeah, we'll save it then. We'll save it
for... Yeah, let's save it for next time.
Our black bag... It's spicy, but not super spicy. Mm-hmm. But it's got some good flavor to it. It's kind of like what if Cool Ranch didn't suck?
Yeah.
This pizza is like a full symphony of flavors.
Anyway, you can support us on Patreon. You can support us by mailing Doritos. You can support us on Amazon. You can buy Dungeons and Doritos t-shirts at nerdyshow.com/store. You can find links to all the ways you can support us at nerdyshow.com/support. We have D&D stickers. We have D&D dice bags and t-shirts for all the characters in the cast. You should totally check them out. Wear some D&D. Wear them around town. People be like, what is that? You tell them about the show. Word of mouth is great. But another way you can spread the word is also by rating and reviewing us on iTunes, which is really super duper important. It helps people discover the show. New people who've never heard of us before. Your words, your star rating influence could help them discover Dungeons and Doritos. So to learn how to do that, head to nerdyshow.com/spread the word. We've got all the instructions there. And you could leave a review like some of the fine people that have reviewed us in the past. For example, this message from Jesse Skipworth.
Jesse Skipworth says, love the D&D podcast with all the intense pickles the gang gets into. Keep it up.
And Fenrir Gochad.
While book one was a little rough around the edges, well, because it didn't have Barty in it, Dungeons and Doritos has evolved since its inception in 2009 to become a monster of a broadcast. The storytelling is great, the production quality is just fantastic, and it introduced me to my favorite role-playing system, Saga's RPG. Rule. Definitely give this a listen if you are a fan of tabletop games, audio dramas, or just love to laugh with the great crew about their misadventures.
I thought that season one really started to pick up right around that crow storyline.
I wonder why that is. Well, thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. Let's get into the adventure right now.
Last we saw our heroes, they'd gotten themselves tied up in some sticky social dramas. And I don't mean those smutty programs in Espanol. But just when you thought they couldn't get any dumber, they went into a magic forest to save some useless, nameless pirates. Good job, you idiots! Oh, let's make poor decisions for some background characters. I guess whatever helps you sleep at night. I know what helps me sleep at night. Can you guess what? That's right. Autoerotic asphyxiation. It'll do wonders. You should try it out. But I'm getting... They're shaking heads at me. This statement is not endorsed by the Nerdy Show LLC or any of its participating members. Just, if you want to choke yourself out before bed, that's a thing you can do. I'm not saying you should, but you certainly can. On with the show!
It's getting dark, it's getting cold.
And he's lost the scent.
Light up the night, Jamala. Light up tonight.
What kind of trees do we have here?
Oak.
Like wrinkly oak trees, like
ancient wooden oaks. Yeah, just like
those are climbable. I'm climbing them. For climb, I rolled an 8.
Okay, you climb up an oak tree.
What do I see up there at the top, the tippity top?
Oh, you're trying to get to the tippity top of the oak tree.
Oh yeah.
Okay, roll another climb
through the canopy.
Yeah, man. I want to see where we are.
You're not a hobbit.
I want to see if I can...
You're in the middle of the Jotun Den.
You realize that the branches get really thin the higher up you go.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, I want to see if there's like a fire or if there's like a clearing somewhere or anything like that.
Okay. So would you roll for the second roll?
A 6.
And one more time.
All right, now I'm gonna give it a little woof.
Wolves don't climb trees well.
Some woof juice? Okay.
Some woof juice.
He's going to try to leap through the canopy like a dog trying to look over a fence.
Yeah.
Up and down.
All right. I rolled a 5. They got progressively worse as I got higher. Which makes sense.
You're not finding much of a path back higher than where you can go. It's getting really difficult to climb at this point. Everybody down in the ground, though, roll a toughness check.
Uh-oh.
7.
21. Oh, just the roll, then 11. Okay.
Yep. Who has wilderness survival?
I do.
Me too.
So does Jamala.
I also do.
Okay.
Oh, so for toughness,
we're prepared.
I got
awesome.
A 5.
For you guys are just standing down at the bottom waiting for him to come down. That cold, misty air in fading light, fading temperatures, it's starting to get really chilly. So there's actually a mist kind of forming at the bottom, like at the ground level. You guys are starting to shiver a little bit. Bogo's fine. He's comfortable. But you guys are...
Comfortable? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you guys have... Jamal and Lefty have started rubbing their arms without even really noticing that they're doing it.
Anything?
Okay. Nothing. It's just trees. There's no clearing. There's no opening. It's just dense forest.
Bogo nods sadly. Jotun Den.
Bogo, what are we supposed to do now? All the Broden's warriors, all they told me was that they how to kill these things, or that they've killed these things, but they haven't told me about the forest and the fact that now we're stuck. How do we find them? Once we find them, then we can kill them.
If Bogo knows a little bit, just this much more about the Jotun Den than they do, would he have an idea on like how to track somebody through it? Because it's a magical forest. If like things are growing behind him and it's, things are changing all the time, would he know of a way that might be unconventional to them as a way to track movement through it?
Roll intelligence or any kind of like lore skill you might have for.
Well, I got wilderness survival. I don't have anything listed under knowledge under legendary warriors and weapons. Maybe there's an old story.
Yeah, try it.
Okay, let's see.
And then the other people with wilderness survival can go ahead and roll that.
No, that's not good. Yeah. That's a 7 total.
Okay. 13.
13?
5. That seems to be my number this game.
Yeah. Jamala, you're a little worried about not just finding them, but you guys are going to find a way out. Then you're in a little bit of trouble because as bad as visibility is now, that fog is just going to get worse as the temperature keeps dropping.
Well, now that Bogo knows that there's not really a story or anything on how to track, would he at least know how to maybe make it through the night, and that'd be more of the survival side?
Yeah, you can roll with your survival.
Because if it's like, I don't know how to track, we may as well,
Yeah, maybe surviving the night is the option.
Exactly.
So, between Shovel Guy appearing in the mid-morning and us getting in there. It's been hours.
Yeah. Weird, huh?
Yeah.
So I rolled
checking.
13 on wilderness survival.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot harder to even keep track of each other if the fog keep. Because this, it's. I'm not trying to make this sound like it's mystical fog or anything like this. This happens every night. This is there every morning. It's cold air. It just comes down off the mountains, and it gets thick. You guys are in an already kind of moist environment and stuff like that. It's a dark place. You can see maybe 10 feet away from you because of the trees. Now you're going to make it foggy.
Probably hard to make a fire. Everything's so damp.
No, you have a dragonborn.
That's true.
She breathes fire.
Yeah, that was.
Does Bogo know that though? That she can breathe fire?
Yeah, no. I showed you last time.
Okay.
So that was my next question. Actually, is there anything dry enough for me to set on fire with my breath, so everybody could have a torch, and it wouldn't just be me doing all the light work?
Yeah, you can break off a branch and try it, and take like moss and leaves and stuff, and make a makeshift torch. You guys have torches too. So there's plenty of stuff to build fires and torches. You guys are not hurting for these resources. The resources are desperate.
Well, let's give everybody a torch and then pick a random direction unless your nose can do any good, Barty.
Can you climb, Bogo?
Yeah.
He's really desperate. Because
I'm down on the bottom most crux of the tree, but I'm not all the way down. I think we should sleep in the trees.
If we go to sleep, those people will surely die, and we might as well just figure out how to get out of here.
All right, well then let's, hey, Yoden, come on out.
Sure.
We're ready. Let's go.
Bogo, the color just leaves Bogo's face.
Yeah. It actually does look worried now.
And now he clutches the torch with both hands.
Yoden, Bartholomew Ulfgar Gleeman, one of Broden's chosen warriors, challenges you for the return of our crewmates.
And just like some spooky movie, you hear an owl or something screech off in the distance.
Holy shit, I'm just kidding.
So you guys are just picking a random direction?
Yeah.
How about the one with the spooky bird squealing?
That way.
All right, I pick your random direction for you.
Okay, thank you.
You guys kind of make your way through the forest one step at a time. As it gets darker, the mist gets thicker, and you find that you guys are at a point where if somebody's more than a couple feet ahead of you, they just become a glowing spot in a dark shadow.
My suggestion is for us to tie a line to each other.
Okay.
So that we're all connected.
The smart thing you've said in ages, Barty. I'm already spooling some rope.
Okay, so you start to tie, you're pulling out the rope, and everybody make a spot check.
It's a D8 kind of a game for me today.
Bogo says, can I be in the middle?
What is spot check?
Or perception.
I have
13.
8.
6.
4.
Okay, Barty, I want you to roll a wisdom.
All right. 7.
Okay, you go a little pale. You see, as you're pulling, you guys are working the rope and you're getting ready to start wrapping each other up, you see this, you hear something first, and that causes you to look up. You've gotten used to seeing the shadows of your allies and stuff, but the shadow you see behind your allies this time is huge, in the 10 to 12 foot range.
Oh, boy.
And it's hulking. It is not like just a large, tall person. It is like a monstrous mass of whatever. And then it just kind of fades back. Almost like the fog just kind of grows around it.
So wow.
now roll another wisdom.
That's going to be really hard for me to keep it together. instinct would just take over. 4.
Yeah, you drop the rope and look around. Maybe tying each other up isn't a great idea.
The fuck are you doing?
Likes, likes.
I think when Bugs Bunny gets in the closet with a skeleton and then it comes out again.
Did you see that?
Oh, fuck. What did you see?
A 12-foot shadow behind you?
Wait, yeah, I turned around. What? I don't...
A shadow of what?
A big old thing. A giant.
You're always so helpful, Barty.
Hey, Bogo.
Bogo with both hands on his torch, which is shuddering. Just Jotun, correcting Barty.
Hey, Bogo. Uppies.
Lefty. You see something much like what I just described to Barty, except from the other direction. You see the mist darken into a shape, and then within a couple seconds, as you try to find the words, trying to say something, it just vanishes again.
Okay, I see Shadow now too, Barty.
Hey, Bogo, uppies.
If he demands uppies, Bogo is gonna just take one hand off of his torch, pick up Barty, put him on his shoulder facing the opposite direction.
Well, hold on. Roll wisdom first.
Oh, wisdom first to see if he knows what he means?
No, because you're playing him very terrified right now.
But I'm just... just quickly, but let's see what I got for... that ain't good.
Yeah, your whole attitude is fuck that shit.
Instead, Bogo's just like, no, I'm fine, thank you.
Something crashes in the woods just behind you guys.
I'm going to unload on my biggest pulse of non offensive light possible.
Okay.
And then as soon as she does that, I'm throwing a dagger at the first sight of something.
Well, it's not the first sight of something. You don't want it to be one of your,
Something big.
Well, specify,
where's everybody?
Please.
How are you guys standing? Are you guys still standing in a circle, like you guys were going to tie each other off?
We're all like back to back. It seems like at this point.
Okay.
I think Jamal and I have a pretty good default way of making sure we're in physical contact while also ready to fight at the same time.
Cast the spell.
I rolled a 13.
Okay, now roll your wisdom, and it's going to be your general effect.
11.
Okay. Jamala creates a big, giant, glowing orb of light. It doesn't chase away the fog. It just makes everything real bright where you are. So your level of visibility hasn't changed as far as, like, how far you can see. But
it's actually gotten worse.
But you guys can see each other a little bit more distinctly. And as soon as that ball goes up, the large, looming shadow that is really kind of facing Jamala, that side of your kind of circle, you see this big mass of shadow there.
Is it?
Oh, immediate throwing dagger. Immediate.
Okay. What's everybody else doing?
Bogo's probably waiting to see if it's aggressive, because if it doesn't see us because of the fog, then, doesn't want to throw something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there was a big loud, like, roar, too. Sorry. Forgot about the sound effect.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's an attacky.
Yeah, it's an attack mode, yeah.
Okay. I rolled a 13.
Okay.
I mean, Bogo will ready his axe. He can't be holding his axe and his torch at the same time, so he'll throw his torch in the direction of the roar if I'm gonna hit it, but more of like light it up wherever it is, like if it's, if it's just the feet.
Right.
Light up the night.
Well, it's a torch. It's not gonna suddenly set fire to everything.
Right.
But.
I want the wolf inside is like wanting to completely and fully take over.
Yes. So you need to roll for that too. Jamala, what are you doing? Are you holding the light, or are you dropping the light and doing something else?
I am seeing that right in front of me, full well ready to take my staff and just turn that energy right back into an avenging light.
What is Lefty doing?
I've got my hand on my sword, and I'm ready to fight.
Okay, so we're all attacking, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So you rolled a 13 to throw the dagger, and you hear the dagger hit, and the monster growling. Sound that it's making just changes pitch for a slight second, so the dagger hits.
Yeah, I rolled a 4 on keeping it together.
Okay, what is everybody's initiative, by the way?
Oh Jesus, you're asking all sorts of questions today.
14.
Okay.
11.
Okay.
The value is a 12.
Okay. What's the value?
The initiative value is 12.
Okay, so good. All right. So the dagger, he already had that attack ready. He let loose. Everybody starts to move forward. There's a loud crash and a squeal that's suddenly muffled as Jamala is grabbed and pulled backwards.
Jamala!
She just vanished. And you see another shadow.
I can't chase fast enough?
Huh?
I can't like react fast enough to run and try to dive.
You could try, but you're running into the mist, away from the rest of the group, with another monster right behind you.
I just turn and shout then.
Okay. Meanwhile, Barty, who hasn't taken his eyes off the other one, rolls his Tame the Beast. So Barty lunges into the shadow with his daggers out, and as he's lunging forward into the mist, the shadow itself is fading out, and it moves away. And you guys can hear the crashing of the trees, and you think that these creatures go running. And Barty's just kind of stuck. His animal instinct wants to chase, but he can't smell it. He doesn't know where to go. Barty, now having landed where that monster was, is just standing there holding his dagger, sniffing at the air, trying to grab his scent. Then you catch it, a small scent of blood, and your nose dives down to the ground, and you can see it. Droplets of blood from where the dagger throw had apparently hit the monster. Bogo is holding the axe in one hand and the torch as if he was ready to throw it. With a pale, sickened look on his face, he looks terrified. Lefty is standing there with her sword in one hand and peering off in the direction that Jamal was just taken. So Jamal is gone, taken by the dark, shadowy monsters that you guys can't seem to see. The mist is growing, and night is falling. What do you do?
Can I smell any of them? Are they? No. Is there anything else around? Nothing.
You still smell that blood, and you see the blood droplets on the ground, and you're hungry for that. But there's no more shapes. There's no noises coming from the forest.
Can I follow the blood?
Yeah.
There's blood. There's blood. It's got to be the monster's blood. We have to follow. If we follow this, we'll find Jamala. I'm going to roll tracking, and I am going to add... I'm going to roll 6. How many points can I do extra bonus for
up
the
to,
wolf?
Up to 10.
Up to 10. Well, I'm going 6.
Well, also, remember that the higher you go, the bigger your failure, the more likely you're going to completely wolf out.
Right. Well, Jamala's missing, and we need to find her. So I'm rolling a 7 plus 3, so a 10 for tracking plus 16.
Okay. Yeah, you know exactly where to go.
All right, I'm going to roll from my wolf. I rolled plus 7.
Okay. At this point, you start to, like, just lunge forward to follow the scent, and then you remember... Very faintly, you remember, wait, can't go alone, can't leave everybody else behind. And you slow down and you look back and you just, like, you're growling, you're so impatient. You try to say something, but you can't actually make words happen right now. You're hungry. You want this.
Ugh.
So what is Lefty and Bogo doing?
Bogo looks at Lefty and is like, I told him to go before we entered the Yogan Den. Bogo's, should we follow him?
Yeah, I'm completely, if Barty is trekking where Jamala went, I am 100% on his tail.
Okay.
All right, then I'll be bringing up the rear, I suppose.
Okay, so you guys are basically following each other's torches. Barty just starts running, and he's following the trail of blood. Even as it gets thinner, he's gotten better at identifying the smell of the creature versus the smell of what should be forest animals. And as the blood itself starts to fade away, he still has the scent of the creature itself. You know, it's full on night when Barty suddenly stops, almost careening into a small, it's almost like a gash in the forest, a couple hundred yards long, but only about 20, 30 yards across, and only about 6 feet deep. But you, when you stop, you can see down into the ravine a thick bed of mist. But you see bones, and some of the bones are actually like stacked, like in little pyramids, or stacked one on top of each other with a stick going through them. There are all kinds of different like animal bones and even a couple human skulls in there. Some of them very small, child size. And you see something burning near the entrance to a small, shallow like cave. Maybe like an opening in the face of the land, but it's only about 4 feet tall, about 8 feet wide.
Well, what does Barty's nose say?
Down.
What does my nose say?
It says down? Go down there.
Oh well, I followed. I'm following my nose.
You're pacing back and forth, trying to find like a safe way down. Like your initial instinct is to kind of jump down, but with all the debris and stuff that you see near the cave, and the mist is kind of separated from that debris because of the little small fires that are over there, which seems kind of weird. Monsters don't necessarily make fires. But directly where you guys are at, where you can see down towards it, you don't see anything but mist below you. You don't know what's down there. So jumping is not necessarily a safe opportunity. You're going to have to kind of move around to try and find a safe way to climb down.
We have the rope. Okay. Can we tie it to the tree and rappel?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Well, let's do that.
Okay, so you're kind of coming back to yourself a little bit more human. You're able to actually speak or articulate. You're not feeling the hunger. Now you're just feeling the very human emotion of got to save my friend.
Yeah. Bogo, tie the end of this rope to that tree. We have to rappel down this ravine. Jamala is down there.
Bogo will take the other end, run around nearest big tree and tie it off.
Okay, so who's climbing down first?
I'll go first.
Okay. There's not much to it. I mean, it's not that deep down. It's only, like I said, about 6 to 8 feet deep down. But you climb down, and you're at the bottom. Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay. Barty, as you hit the ground, you feel like you're stepping on very, very dry sticks. Use your torch.
Feel like walking on fortune cookie, Dr. Jones.
Yes. Using your torch, you can see that they're just scattered bones.
That's no cookie.
And Lefty, when you hit the ground, same thing. And then Bogo, I assume.
Bogo puts the torch in his teeth and then climbs down the rope.
Okay. And then you guys are all down there standing on a bed of bones.
Great.
How are you? You guys are carrying torches. How are you approaching this place without... Are you trying to boldly go forward or are you trying to be stealth?
Well, where's the... Can I smell the... The smell, like, what does it smell like?
Everybody can smell, like, the stench of these monsters now. This
ooh,
is their...
Ooh, that urine. Smell. Can you smell that smell?
Yes, they can smell it. It's like a damp, rotting bear hide or something.
Why don't you take three steps that way, Marty?
You said there were fires, right?
Yeah, small little fires. Like, I'd say, like, about the size of a cereal bowl.
I would like to sneak towards the fire.
Okay, so roll stealth.
Is there still any kind of blood trail?
No, he lost that in the woods. He was just basically following their stank.
Okay.
I'm going to give 3 wolf points.
To stealth?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad I did that because I rolled an 8, so 11.
Okay, and then roll the wolf.
All right, 7.
Okay, you're okay. You managed to stalk up there, and that's more of in line with than the actual sneaking. It's more of you stalking your way up to the front door, and we're going to cut from you to just about 5-10 minutes ago. Jamala, you wake up. The world is upside down, literally. You're hanging by your feet, you think?
All the blood's rushing to my snout. What do I see?
You see, just a cursory glance, you're looking around the room. You see these two hulking creatures. They're kind of gray skinned. They look like large humans, but they have kind of stupid looking looks on their faces. They're filthy, and just one of them has a dagger. He's pulling it out of his shoulder very slowly, and he drops to the ground, and he makes kind of this whimpering noise, and he says something, but you don't understand the language. And that's when you hear the rustling from one of the from towards the right, from the back end of this lair. And
am I being held upside down?
Yeah, you're hanging from your feet.
Like, is it warm?
You're tied to whatever it is. Yeah. And your arms are tied behind you.
And do I see my staff anywhere?
No. It could be behind you. It could be somewhere else. Like, your ability to, like, turn your head and stuff seems... It's very limited. Okay. Right now, you're still kind of groggy. The sound that you heard comes from, like, a smaller creature. It gets up on two legs and it turns around. You can see that it's been working on something, but it's hard to see what it is because of the way the light is. The light is being blocked by something. What stands up looks like it's got the hair of a female, but you're only seeing it all in profile, just the shadow, and it's wearing some sort of cloak or robe or something. And it's hunched over, and it's got a stick it's using to help it walk as it stumbles towards one of the Jotun. And she starts talking to it. It's a woman's voice, but it sounds like rustling leaves almost, and she's talking to it in almost a soothing nature. She reaches back and picks up the light source that she has, which is, again, it's like a bowl with a small blue flame in it. And as she lifts it over, you see that the shape she was working on were three of the crew members, likewise hanging, but they're naked. And and one of them, you can see, like, something is drawn on their torso with some sort of the paint, whatever it is, it's running. You can't really make out the shapes, but it looks like something deliberately, like, drawn on it. And she picks up another bowl that was underneath the crew member and heads towards the Jotun. Are you saying or doing anything?
I feel like she's probably doing some kind of a spell of some kind, maybe. Is that, would I have any reason to have any kind of arcane knowledge about what might be happening in front of me?
That could be what's happening to the crew member that's hanging from his feet. But otherwise, what she's doing is she's heading towards the Jotun. You don't know. So she just looks like she's carrying a light in a bowl in her hand.
Do I have any, with my claws or anything, any leverage or opportunities to quietly disengage myself from whatever's tied me up?
No, whatever. It's like you were roped, like almost bailing. The rope that's tying your hands behind your back is wrapped around you completely, like over and over and over. Like, you have no movement in your arms or your legs. And being upside down, it makes it hard for you to, like, look behind you.
And what about my neck?
Your neck's free.
Could I potentially crane my head forward and try to set the ropes on me on fire in a way that I could burst out of it?
Sure.
Would logic dictate that I'm going to burn myself more than this is going to work, or...?
It'll hurt, but it's a price of pain and freedom, or whatever might happen to you if you don't do anything. However, that being said, you're only about 8 to 10 feet away from these guys. They're definitely going to notice a new flame.
And does it seem like it would eat through it fast enough that I could do something about it? Because my options here are either, like...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Trying to talk my way out of the situation or try to burst out of the situation?
You don't, without being able to clearly see the ropes, but they feel pretty thick. And it feels like a lot of them. So if you weren't so close to them, you could burn one rope, for instance, and then just kind of shimmy your way until the ropes fell free. And that would take about probably 30 to 45 seconds, give or take. If you freed yourself that far, they'd be on top of you before you could cast a spell or do anything.
Okay.
And as you're working all this out, the woman, for lack of a better word from what you can see, reaches a bony, scrawny hand up, and she has something on her hand. She's wiping it on the wounded Jotun. And again, she's kind of talking to it in a very motherly way, like concealing it. And the creature itself looks almost like it's like a child in pain. And the other one is kind of punching the ground like he's angry. And she looks to him and she says something again in a language you don't understand, and he just kind of looks ashamed and backs away and relaxes. So it's almost like she's scolding children or soothing the children, but they're, you know, 10-foot tall gray-skinned Jotuns.
Does it sound at all like the language of the Northlanders?
It sounds exactly like their language.
Have I picked up any of that?
Maybe pray. Uh-huh. You think you hear that word, but otherwise, you know, hunting, you've heard that word, but nothing else that they're saying makes a whole lot of sense.
All right. Hey, lady, what's the deal?
Her head snaps towards you, and she's, like, looking glaringly. Her hand is still, like, up on that Jotun's chest, but she stops medicating it. She pulls it back, and she kind of stands up to her full height holding that stick, and she's the size of a woman. A normal woman. She looks almost like a normal woman, but you see that the cloak that she's wearing is really nothing more than a light, tattered robe that's not, like, fastened in front of her. It's just, like, draped on her. She's naked, but, like, her breasts are, like, lopsided. She's kind of twisted and skeletal, but she looks dangerous, like a beast, but sick, like a starving child. And she just kind of takes a couple steps. She's saying something in there. She's almost spitting it out, like hissing. And she walks near you and just backhands you.
Okay. How badly does she backhand me?
It actually doesn't hurt that much. She's just weak. But it's enough to, like, send the message, shut up. She pulls out a dagger, a nice, like, slender dagger. She walks back over to the person that she had been painting these things on, and she continues to paint, but she's not using the brush. She's carving something into him.
And is he dead, awake?
He screams. And that's where you guys come back in. You hear just this pitiful screaming coming from inside. It's not Jamala. It's clearly a man's voice. It sounds like a man just being tortured inside the cave. So, Barty, Lefty, Boga.
Let's sneak that way, the way of the scream.
Okay, so you're sneaking, you're following, basically getting closer to the cave.
I mean, if Barty's up for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Let's go.
Everybody's sneaking, roll stealth. Bogo is trying to sneak up with him, or is he cowering?
He's scared, but I mean, he's gonna, as long as they're in front of him, I think. That's okay. Like, not like, yeah, go ahead, kill them first, but rather, yeah, like, strength in numbers.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm gonna do another plus 3. Okay. To my stealth. I got an 11, 19.
Okay, all right. So with no snake, we use dexterity, which I get 8.
So Barty sneaks forward. His mastery of stealth at this point kind of taking over. He crosses across the doorway of the cave to one side as you guys crouch towards the other. Lefty's making some noise, and she's aware of it, but it's not so loud that you would think that it would be something to be afraid of. Barty doesn't seem to be concerned at all. It is, however, concerning when Bogo starts to sneak forward. He bumps into Lefty, and both of them make this obnoxious clanging noise when their weapons and stuff hit the clothes and the debris that they're wearing. It sounds almost like a small puddle. Yeah, a small kitchen just hitting a bunch of rocks.
Do I hear that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to shout something.
Okay.
I am going to hide.
A dragon shout.
There's an old lady and 2 giants, and she's got a knife!
And a terrible rack!
Jamala sees one of the unwounded Jotun roars and just turns like a feral animal and just starts on all fours charging towards the front of the cave. The other one starts to slip behind him. All you guys hear from that cave is Jamala's crying out and then the roar of this creature. And Barty is kind of already in this really great position he snuck towards. And he's crouching and hiding behind that. Lefty and Bogo are crouching and hiding where they made a bunch of noise. They have a really good eye view of this creature just charging. It's a hulking gray-skinned beast with humanoid features just charging on all fours, almost like a gorilla charging forward and bursting out of the cave. And it right off the bat, it sees you guys.
Don't have a choice at this point, I guess.
So who's going to do what first?
Well, I mean, am I hidden? Like, yeah. Is it run past me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I'm going after Jamala.
Okay.
How hidden am I?
You're
I
not.
I guess we're not. Like, we're just standing there. And
yeah,
he's coming.
He slid
sees
out.
Us.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's just charging at us?
No, he's charged out of the cave and kind of slid to a stop. And he sees you guys, and he stands up full tall. His hands are open, and you can see the claws that are on. These are definitely the things that rended Shovel Guy. And it just kind of crouches down just enough to look like it's about to pounce. And
oh, boy.
It just growls at you. In person, this thing is even scarier looking than the shadowy stuff you guys were facing in the mist.
So he's ready to pounce toward us, and we are in a single direction.
Yep.
I almost feel like the best thing to do would be if we both, like, dive and split up in opposite directions and hide behind trees and work our way toward where Jamala is.
Okay.
I feel like running is our best bet.
You also know that there's one Jotun and one and an old lady with a knife still inside the cave, and that thing, that the Jotun itself, as it came out of the cave, had filled the cave.
Okay, so there's no getting past him, is what you're
no,
saying.
No, he is past the cave. You could go back in, but there's another one in there. That
right,
is
so he could end up surrounded.
So do we just split then? Like, if he's about to charge, we both split and then lure him further out. And
is there, like, a big mountain or rock we can stand in front of so that when he charges, and we can just dive and do one of those Looney Tunes things where he hits his head and we're able to walk away?
No, this is pretty much, it's just broken. The ground is just, there's no, like, rocks. It's more like runoff.
Can I pick up some bones and throw them, like, at him while I'm running away?
Yep.
So that I...
You're strong! Kill him!
I'll say, Uzani, with his army! Fists open!
Well, I want to attack him when he's not, like, gearing to attack. It's easier to counter him when he's not uber aggro.
Yeah, she does a pretty good job killing things. Okay, so you guys are splitting up. The creature charges forward as you guys start to move.
I want to try to throw a bone in his eye.
Okay.
While I run.
He has a bone in your eye.
Yeah.
There's a bone in your eye. Ah!
Bogo, I want you to roll defense. Because
okay.
You're the largest thing. He thinks you're a bigger threat.
Mm-hmm. What for my defense, would that be? Just... What,
do you have a defense skill?
I have a parry. Or
okay.
I have a block.
Okay, so go ahead and roll reaction.
Okay, then 11.
11?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you missed.
Or rather, he hit.
Yeah. So you are taking 16 points of damage minus your armor. What's your damage capacity of your armor?
10.
Or protection rating, sorry.
6.
Okay, so you take 10 points of damage.
Okay.
Holy shit, don't get hit by these things.
No, you don't want to get hit by these things.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a 2 to 3 hits and you're dead game. So you just took 10 points of damage. What's your wound threshold?
A critical threshold?
Yeah.
10.
10?
Yeah.
Okay, you took a wound. But yeah. You're still standing. The creature charges forward, grabs you, and slams you up against the wall of the...
The ditch or whatever?
Yeah. And just slams into you.
Ugh.
Now, Lefty, when you were starting to move to go throw that in his face, you saw that he wasn't even coming for you. He just went straight for the direction that Bogo was in. So you actually have an opening.
Neat, taking it.
All right, so you're attacking from behind it. So go
with
ahead.
With my big old sword.
All right, hack at it.
Yay, hacking. I guess that would be D12 plus 3. No whammy, no whammy, no whammy. I got 9.
Okay, roll damage.
Damage is D10 plus 5 plus 4.
No,
so,
it's either D10 plus 5 or D10 plus 4. Are you using it two-handed or one-handed?
Whichever gets me the plus 5.
That's two-handed.
Then that one.
I agree.
All right. Well, I rolled a 5, so my plus 5 gets me 10.
because I rolled a 1 to defend.
Oh, shit.
That was on the defeating. So he just gave... Pogo, you just gave to him. So seeing the opening, you just bring that sword crashing down onto the thing's back. But you do notice that it is an effort to drive that sword into his skin. And as you bring it down and rake it across his flesh, tearing a nice long gash into his back, it howls in pain and backs away from Bogo and takes a step back, almost reaching behind it, like surprised and shocked that you were able to do it. And that's where you guys stand at this moment. Barty, what are you trying to do?
I am heading towards the shout that Jamala made.
Okay, so you turn into the cave and you start heading forward and you see the wounded Jotun coming towards you in the cave.
Oh, the one with the dagger?
Yep.
Okay, so there's an old lady... And
you don't see her, you just know about her because of Jamala. You can't see anything past that Jotun.
Okay. I can't see Jamala?
No. You see the glow
of... Can I smell Jamala?
Yes.
Okay. Can I smell like that she's close?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm going to wolf out to the point of... I'm letting go almost to complete insanity.
Okay, so you're going to go full plus 10 to attack?
I'm going to go plus 9. Okay. Plus 9. With a rapier. Maybe a double dagger. Double dagger on this Jotun.
Okay.
You can go double dagger tactfully while being a werewolf at the same time?
Or I could claw this dude.
It's really not
like,
tactile. It really depends on how he rolls his resistance to the werewolf thing. So he's going to get the bonus regardless. It's what happens after that is determined by the werewolf.
Would I still roll like a dagger like for the attack the same...
This is like a leaping, like a charge in attack. Yeah. It's not a throw. Right. Yep. You would just roll just like you normally do, but add a plus 9. Are you charging?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then you're going to subtract another 3 points for the distance you got to charge, but you're going to get another 3 points back in your damage roll.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So a total of plus 6 at the end of it.
Plus 6, yeah. I rolled an 11 plus 6, so 17.
Okay, let's see what happens with the Jotun. Go ahead and roll damage.
All right. I rolled damage 18 plus 21.
Holy shit.
Nice. Does the wolf get added to that as well?
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he could. Yeah.
21 plus the 9, so 30?
Yes, 30. So it did not take an armor defeating hit, so it takes 14 points of damage. Didn't take a wound. Go ahead.
With 30 damage?
No, because he has... His skin is like armor.
All right.
You didn't armor defeat, because I didn't roll a 1 this time to defend myself.
oh, Joe, jeez.
Roll wisdom.
I rolled a 2. I rolled a 3, because I had the plus 1. So 3. I rolled a 3.
You slam into the creature, driving both daggers down onto, its torso, holding onto it. You're face to face with this thing, and without really having any control over it, you just snarl at it, but you can feel changing.
What kind of changing?
You've got teeth now.
Oh, okay.
Jamala, what are you doing?
What's the old lady doing?
She's cowering back into the corner near the hanging crew members. By the way, there's only 3.
Uh-huh.
One's missing.
Uh-huh.
The other one is Shovel Guy, so that's the total of 5.
Uh-huh.
So just keep that.
Okay, and how far away is the conflict with Bati and the creature?
I'd say about 10 feet away.
Okay, and how is the old lady near me?
No, her eyes are on the Jotun, and she's kind of hissing and growling under her breath as she's backing away. She's clutching a dagger in front of her like she's afraid somebody's going to get past the Jotun and she's going to have to fight back. She's not even aware of you at this moment.
I'm going to do the fire thing.
Okay. Go ahead and roll that.
I rolled a 4 for attack and my effect is 11.
Okay. So you start burning the ropes, but you're burning your skin, so you're going to take 3 points of damage.
Okay.
And that's when the old lady remembers you, hisses, and starts heading straight for you with her dagger. But she's doing it cautiously. She's not, like, charging. She realizes what she just saw. That worries her, but she's still kind of stalking her way towards you with her dagger almost in front. She obviously doesn't use this dagger as a weapon, the way she's holding it. She's holding it more like a... like a 1950s housewife with a burglar in the room, you know?
That's oddly specific, but I like it.
Okay.
All right. Bogo, you're up.
So the Jotun, he like stumbled back, and is he spinning to see Lefty, or is he...
He's looking back between both of you. He was surprised that she hit him, but he's not stupid
in the
sense that he's going to completely ignore you.
I want to take the best opportunity I can. I know I'm hurt real bad, but I got to do something. So I'm going to take a swing. Can I call a target like his leg or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let me try and...
Here's how called shots work. You take a 3-point bonus for however narrow you do. Leg is 3. Upper leg is -6. Kneecap is going to be -9. Again, those points then get applied to the damage that you do to the creature.
If I can, I want to try and do a swing in a way that will come up behind his knee. Not necessarily like I want to cut him off at the knee, but rather like if I can even just get his leg out from under him and get him on the ground.
Okay, so you're going to take the 3?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just to so that you use his weight against him to trip him. Just use my regular attack for axe or whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's go, Bogo. It's not. I went over the wire. I gotta not roll on the wire anymore. I rolled a 11.
You bring your axe around to go, and he sees that coming, and he just brings his arm down and stops. Yeah, the shaft of the axe hits the arm. It's almost like hitting a rock or something. You know, it didn't give at all. Just thunk. And the vibration going up your arm. That sort of thing.
Bogo's channeling like exclusively Looney Tunes stuff.
Yeah, right? So back to the Jotun. Being that you attacked it last, Bogo.
Sure.
Roll defense.
Man, mine's all got to go on Bogo.
Are you trying to parry with your axe?
Ooh. Do I have that? This isn't reactionary. I could parry with it if I...
Yeah, it's the same. That's what the parry skill is for. It's the same die roll. So.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, let's do that. That would be... it's 15.
Actually, if you look down at your weapon stats, you have a parry down there.
Ooh. And I just roll for that as well?
No. What is it? Say?
That's D10 plus 3.
Okay, so the axe actually has a parry bonus of 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be 2... plus your parry skill, which is what? 6.
6, yeah.
So that's 8 plus the 9 is 17.
17, yeah.
Okay. So that's 11. So you parry.
Oh, I do? Okay.
Yep.
Oh,
so
well, that's lucky.
It brings its right hand as just a full-on fist, and you bring your axe up just in time.
Like, I was down from trying to get the leg, but it stopped it.
That was his left hand.
Then the fist comes up, so I just whoop straight up with the axe.
Right.
Like, okay.
More like, instead of your hands being together, you have them separated.
Yeah.
And you... and you just managed to stop that fist. But
damn.
Again, that pushes you back against the rock, just the force of it, but it doesn't hurt. But you're like, holy.
Yeah, better than more claws in the face.
Again, Lefty, you have a slight opening now, but it is not like the last one. So now you can hit.
All right, well, you know how I like to take my openings.
Yeah.
2 plus 3, 5.
Boo. 5?
Freaking 5.
Yeah. It basically steps aside just as your kind of clumsy attack just whiffs right past him. Barty.
Yes?
Your daggers are stuck. What do you want to do?
What am I going to do? I've got teeth, and he's in my face. Ooh, I'm going to bite his eyes out.
Okay. All right, go ahead and guess. You're just giving into the instincts. Go for it.
Hell yeah.
Roll a an unarmed attack.
Any bonuses to this one?
Yeah, you still have your wolf bonus.
So unarmed, that's a 17 plus the 9, so 26. Incisors to the eyeballs. Do I need to even roll damage at this point?
Yes, you do have to roll damage. You're not that powerful.
No, I mean it's his eyes.
Well, I didn't say you hit the eyes. That's just what you're going for.
Okay, 20.
Okay, 20 points of damage right on its face. You feel your teeth just bite strong down onto the flesh of its cheek. And you pull it off and just warm blood just flows down into your mouth. And God, it tastes so good. You want more. The creature howls and you're not defending. This isn't going to be happy. So take 18 points of damage as it slams you off of it into the sidewall of the cave. You do, if you're wearing armor, you can deduct.
Yeah.
You can deduct that. What did I say it was?
18.
Yes, 18. Sorry. Thank you.
What am I looking for?
Your protection. Which one? Protection rating.
An 8.
Okay, so you took 10 points of damage.
Okay. Then I'm. That's it for me then.
You're unconscious?
Yep.
Wow, that was dramatic. Okay. Jamala, what you see is the beast slumping backwards. It's got its hands on its face, and blood is just pouring down the side of its body. Its flesh is actually, like, rendered. It's whimpering, almost, as it staggers back, and it's falling backwards, just trying to separate itself from whatever just did this. And you see Barty unconsciously slumped across the thing. And as you see this, you see that woman filling your vision as she gets closer with that dagger. But she's almost like, anytime you make a move with your head, she steps back just like a bit as she moves forward. Yep.
Okay, so I'm wiggling. Am I out of the ropes yet?
No.
You're
getting there. You can start to move your hands. You can actually.
And how close is the old woman?
4 feet.
And she's going to cut me, huh?
Oh, she wants to. But she's also looks very scared to. Like, she wants to cut you, but she feels like she might lose an arm if she tries.
She's gonna lose her fucking face. Which, are my hands free?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No. They're looser, but they're not free.
I'm gonna say to her, call it off, and if she just keeps walking, I'm gonna blast her with flames.
Okay. If she doesn't seem to understand what you're saying, she lurches back for a second, and then she screams something at you. You don't understand the words, and then she starts moving forward a little bit faster.
Yep, say goodbye to your face, Grandma. 4 to attack. Piss. 2 for effect.
So.
Oh, plus 1.
So you got it with a 3. Okay, so add 2 more points to that. So 5.
Okay.
Yeah, so you spit. You don't breathe fire. You spit like a stream of fire at her, and it hits on her, like, torso area and the bathrobe, basically, the tattered robe she's wearing, and that catches on fire. She's blindly, like, trying to pat it away. She backs up into you, and she backs up into the Jotun at the same time, who pushes her away from it. And we'll stop there as that chaos continues. Back towards Lefty and Bogo and their fun little Jotun adventure. The picture I have in my head now is that you just blocked.
Yeah.
Lefty attacked and blocked. This thing's actually taking kind of a step back. It's realizing that you guys aren't children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not easy prey. And it's looking between the two of you, trying to figure out what it's going to do. So now we have kind of a triangle of combatants. And the creature doesn't look like it's really ready to make the first move.
Okay. I don't have much health left, but...
Yeah, you look pretty beat up and just shattered. Lefty can see that.
Can I make a fake form, like I'm going to go? Like, see, just to sort of test his reaction? If I'm like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And if I can hopefully distract him and he's got his eyes locked on me, that might give Lefty an opening.
Okay. So go ahead and use charisma to make your attack test.
Okay. That's 11.
So let's roll this thing's wisdom. And he totally buys it. And he kind of takes his left foot, because you're on his left. He steps back with his left foot and right foot, so now he's kind of standing, like, sideways towards you guys. Lefty, it's not like a wide opening, but his focus is more on Bogo than it is on you.
Take it.
All right. How are you going to take this attack?
Well, is the sword still a smart?
Yeah. Really, all you've right. only hit him. You've only attacked him twice. You don't know much about fighting this thing based only on the fact that you hit him in the back once, and otherwise you've missed. But you do know that hitting him in the arms is kind of pointless.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yes.
Right. All right, here come my large swords.
Okay.
Let's see, that's 4 plus 3, that's 7.
That's it, total?
For the skill, yeah.
Yeah, you missed. It sees you and it takes another step back. This time it charges for you.
Me?
Yep.
Cool.
So roll to, how do you want to do this? Parry, block, or dodge? You can't block, you don't have a shield. So is it going to be a parry or a dodge?
He's real big, right?
Yeah.
Dodge.
Okay. So roll to dodge.
So reaction is... Oh, I rolled an 11 on a d12
okay.
for...
Okay, you parried. So is it?
Great.
It basically it tries to backhand you like almost like a gorilla swipe. It takes two steps forward, swings upwards at you, and you bring your sword back and clang right into it.
Yay!
Yep. So Barty is unconscious. What you see, Jamala, is that woman is just trying to figure out how to get this thing off of her, and she's screaming in pain.
And by this thing, you mean my dragony fire?
Yeah, that. She finally throws this thing down, and she's glaring at you, but she's not going anywhere near you. She dropped her dagger near you. You finally got the ropes clear.
Is her dagger Barty's dagger, or is that dagger also somewhere around there?
It's Barty's dagger.
Okay, am I free yet?
Yes, you're free.
Great. The dagger's near me, if I wanted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you have a Jotun on your left, and you have a burnt old lady on your right.
And is the Jotun paying attention to me at all?
No, it's like it's crying or something. It's just kind of like it's huddled in the corner. It's almost like in a fetal position. Like it's afraid of anything else coming to hurt it.
Okay, I'm going to...
Yeah, I put the fear into the Jotun! Fear the unconscious werewolf on the floor!
It's got a level 3 wound. It's about to fall unconscious, but,
And I assume I can't tell that, though.
No, you can just see that it has no interest in you or anything else. It's defeated.
And I can't see my staff anywhere near me.
No, it's behind you. It was behind you the whole time. You just couldn't see it.
Great. Okay, I'm gonna grab that and I'm gonna knock the lady in the head. I'm gonna knock her unconscious. That's what I wanna do.
Okay. She's trying to dig her way like backwards, like trying to back up, and she has nowhere to go. She's panicking, she's screaming, and that's when you funk her. But that is when things change outside. The Jotun outside hears that scream and just charges back towards the cave, totally turning its back on both of you.
He's gonna do that, and the default would fall to me, right? If we're going in order still.
Yeah.
All right, then I'm gonna let him have it. If he's got his whole back to me, then may as well.
Okay.
Because I don't know when we're gonna get it better.
You got like just a couple hit points.
I'm actually down to, if it's toughness, I got 7 left.
Oh, so you did take a wound.
Yeah. Should that affect?
Yeah. Now you've got. Yeah. You're about at 5.
Oh, because it continues. I got you. Okay. Then I mean, but whatever. What else am I going to do? Like, and let just run in there and maul Barty and Jamella. So
yeah.
Let's do it then. Let's just go full on with the axe, and I'm going to hopefully cleave that gash on his back even deeper. Ooh, that's that. And then 19.
Okay. Go ahead and roll damage.
And that would be 8.
Okay, so your axe clanks on the back of it. You didn't hit it in the same gash. You hit it closer to the shoulder, and it feels it, but it's not hurt by it. Mm-hmm. And you have about a split second to act if you got something that you want to do right now. Quick.
Attack.
Okay. Almost ran out of time there.
Always.
All right, go ahead and roll it.
10 plus... Yeah. 3, 13.
Yeah, he's done. He's hit. Sorry. Okay, go ahead and roll damage.
Okay. 6.
6 total?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, yeah, your sword, same thing. You hit it, and it just clanks off of his shoulder. It's like hitting a rock. And again, with the attack, but it was already mid attack on Bogo when you swung. So go ahead and roll the defend.
Can I do a dodge to try and dodge?
Sure.
Or is it 2? Niner?
A niner?
Yeah, 9.
It's not armor defeating, but it does hit. Okay, so what's your protection rating on your armor?
6.
Okay, so you just took 14 points of damage.
Jesus! I'm out.
All right, so what's the negative?
If I was down to 5.
Yeah, so you're a negative 11?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your total hit point or total toughness?
When I'm unaffected, it's 17.
Okay. What was your wound threshold? Well, you were at 7. You were at 5, so your wound threshold.
I was 1 wounded.
16, you're 2 wounded. Added on to that, so now you're at minus 3. So you got about 2 rounds until you die.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's really bad. So when he gets hit this time, he gets hit right into the chest, and he goes sailing back about 4 or 5 feet. Blood is coming out of his nose and mouth, and he's unconscious. He's just coughing blood at this point. And that's what you're seeing, Lefty. But Jamala is still... The woman's... You cracked her skull, so she's just bleeding. She's out. She's done. The other Jotun, the wounded one, saw or heard that scream, kind of woke up a little bit, saw you, tries to stand up and falls to one knee, tries to stand up again. Like, she's going towards you. She's doing everything she can to creep towards you.
So this is a lady Jotun?
Yes. Okay. So, yep. So she's taking steps towards you, towards the person that's hurting it, the old lady. It wants to stop you and protect it. And that's the sense you get from this creature as it's heading towards you.
Okay. Well, I take the old woman by the hair, lean down to grab the dagger, and hold the dagger to the old woman's neck.
It stops, it teeters, and then it just eyes roll back into its head, and it falls, collapses to the ground.
That's what I thought. drop the old lady. Hurry over to Bati and make sure he's okay.
Blood's coming out of his mouth and nose. He was crushed. You hear the crunch of something get smashed outside.
My soul.
It's like a squishy metal.
Like a can of soup.
Yes, that's an excellent one. Like somebody just stepped on a can of soup, but it was in stereo. It was really loud. So Lefty, you're standing alone with this thing over what looks like the dead body of Bogo.
I don't have any healing skills. Is Jamala within earshot? And
you have no idea what's going on. Yeah, it's just you and this beast who's glaring at you now. It's like it's forgotten about the woman that screamed. And remembered after being attacked twice that you guys are dangerous.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm going to keep trying to kill it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Can I do that?
Yep.
I mean...
Poor Bogo. That
sorry,
was it.
Bogo. I don't have healing skills. I need to kill...
What else can
I
you
need
do?
To avenge
just,
you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how the hell I'm going to survive. I should be dead at this point.
I can only avenge one person at a time, Barty. All right, Bogo. No whammy. Woo!
What'd you roll?
13.
Okay, you hit it this time.
Yay.
So go ahead and roll damage.
I got a 6 on the dice.
Yeah, again, your sword clangs on him, hitting him across the chest.
But that has a +5, so it's 11 total, right?
Okay, so you actually gave 1 point of damage.
Okay.
So a little scratch.
Yeah, take that, big monster.
But you're starting to see... Hitting him in the chest and arms, like you see the texture on his skin. You see the areas of his skin where you have the one place you had hit him and it hurt, and every other place you've hit him and your sword is almost bounced off. You can start to see the vital parts of him that you need to strike for. But these are all going to be called shots at this point. So any of these shots you're going to try and make, if you're going to try and hit him there, or you're going to try and power through this armor that is like hitting a wall of rock every time you hit it. And it is also attacking you. So you have to roll your reaction.
I got a 7, so plus 1 is 8.
8, 13. And no, you got hit. Not armor defeating, but you did get hit. For a total of 20. So you're taking 15 points of damage.
God.
Me?
Yep.
Where am I starting at?
13. So you're unconscious now, too.
Holy cool. Shit. This
may
guys.
Be our last game of D&D, you guys.
Hey, it was fun while it lasted, guys. Hope it's
it's really a miracle we made it this far.
Good night and good luck.
So, Jamala, something is entering the cave.
Yeah, something's entering the cave?
Another Jotun.
Do I have any understanding of what's wrong with Bati?
Yeah, he was pounded to death.
How many rounds do I have? How many rounds do I have left? Like, what's going? I mean, like, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody knows that except me.
Oh, great!
Yeah. No, you can see like the basically you just you
a tunnel of light. You see a tunnel of light, Barty.
Jamala, really the only option you have for him is so that he's not drinking his own blood. He's not laying down on the. So you prop him up and you've kind of set him apart. His breathing seems to relax a little bit. It's not labor. It's not gurgling. He's not drowning in his own blood at this point. He's not fading fast, but go ahead and roll wisdom.
Wisdom's the best I can do, and I got a 2.
Okay, you don't know anything else that you can do at this point to make this better.
Ugh.
So.
Bless me with hope.
No.
Okay, well, if so, so I've propped him up. I hear something approaching.
Yep. No, you see it.
I see it.
Yeah, yeah. There's one more of the Jotun standing there.
Okay. I'm going to run back to the old lady and threaten her again.
It keeps moving forward.
The dagger's right against her throat.
It keeps moving forward.
Oh, shit.
Biggest sun strike. Yep. I can... No, it needs to be Avenging Light because it has to be fast. Okay.
Hit it.
Come on, Jamala, for the love. Come on. Your team's dying. You are literally it.
I'm thinking. Hold on, I'm thinking.
God. Would you like to phone a friend?
In her particular position, this isn't like a she's got to beat this thing so her friends can survive. She has to beat this thing so any of you can survive.
Okay, here I go. Avenging Light, as big as I can.
Man, not even the Man in Black was this hard.
19.
Okay, yeah, you hit it.
And 8 plus 3... So 11 plus 3, 14.
Okay. Plus 1 is 15. That's it. That was all you needed.
I killed him by 1 point.
Yeah, by 1 point. Because if she had that point. That 1 point, that one little nick was all. That was what you needed, yeah. So, yeah, in desperation, you fire off a beam of light that hits dead center in the chest.
Right on that scratch.
Actually, right in like this little pit right here, right just below the sternum area, and just pierced right through it. And it takes another step, and it just falls flat on top of the one that had passed out from its wounds earlier. Okay, now, I didn't want to say you guys could do this because it was much more fun watching you all panic. Everybody can roll one personal healing test, which is just a toughness test. But you do have to subtract your wounds from it.
How many wounds do I have?
You have 2. Lefty has 1. Bogo has 3.
Then 8, so...
So you are at -7. So you rolled a 6, so you're at -1, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're not dying anymore, but you're still unconscious. Lefty, what did you roll?
I rolled a 2.
Okay, you're not dying anymore, but you're unconscious.
Okay.
I was at -11, but I rolled a 6. So that means I'm at -5.
Well, did you subtract your 3?
Yes.
Okay, so then, yeah, you're good. So everybody's still alive, Jamala. Like, he looks dead. Bogo looks dead. But, yeah, you're alone in this.
Okay, so I don't know any of that.
No.
Lefty! Bogo!
So when you walk outside, what you see is Lefty and Bogo at completely opposite ends of this gash in the forest. Bones, human bones, animal bones carpet the entire area. And they are covered in their own blood, having come from like their mouths and their nose, even their eyes. Just like they had fallen from a great height.
Like a can of soup from a great height.
Yeah.
Onto the storeroom floor.
Were the crew members, were any of them... conscious still?
The one that was being cut up, it had passed out. The other two were already passed out.
Okay.
You find bits and pieces of the fourth one scattered throughout, having been gnawed and ate upon.
Okay, I have no hope of dragging Bogo anywhere. Can I put something in his wound to try?
You don't see wounds. It's like they're crushed.
Oh,
like he slammed me into the wall.
Yeah, you see a huge dent in his okay. armor.
And Lefty, I mean, I've gone to her first.
You have to actually unfasten part of her armor to so she can breathe better.
Okay, I'm taking her into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm propping her up. I'm gonna slap any of the crew members, see if they'll wake up.
Yeah, nobody's waking up.
Oh no!
Roll wisdom.
I rolled a 1.
Okay, roll toughness.
I rolled a 1.
Okay. So you slump
typical
back.
Jamala rolls.
You slump back against the cave wall. You look around. Lefty and Barty are slumped against the wall. You think they're alive. The Jotun are down. You're exhausted. You have no idea what to do. You lean your head back, close your eyes, and start to drift off.
you very much for listening to Dungeons and Doritos. It's been a lovely 7 or so years. I've had a wonderful time being with you all this time, and I'm grateful that it's over, and now I can finally go on that vacation that they promised me. I mean, they're all dead, so I don't...
They're not dead.
Oh, like you know. I'm a wizard. I think I know when someone's dead. They're dead, buddy.
They are mostly dead. Not all dead. There's a big difference.
Okay, Coon's so nice this time of year. Farts and tarnation. You nefarious wankstain of a game master.
They could still die in the next episode. It's entirely up to them. I have no idea how they could get out of this.
He's got a smug look on his face.
I don't.
Face.
I can't wait to see how you guys figure this out.
Smug.
I'm happy because I don't have to write the next episode. It's being written by you guys this time.
Tune in next month for another Dungeons & Doritos, where you'll hear the exploits of Smuggy McGame Master and the and the inept idiots who can't roll too good.
Hello. Thank you so very much for listening to Dungeons & Doritos, presented by Nerdy Show. I know what you're thinking. Jamella, I've listened to all the episodes of Dungeons & Doritos. I've heard all this before. Well, shut up, fussy britches. It's time to listen good. Because if you're not actively participating in what I'm about to say, if you're not listening to these facts and these accreditations, you're missing a significant part of the Dungeons & Doritos community and special ways that you can help make this show go on forever. So, if you like what you heard, do the responsible thing. Please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Dungeons & Doritos was performed by Cap Blackard, Colin Peterson, Lefty Lucy, Doug Banks, and Rule Knudsen. It was designed and mixed by Colin Peterson and edited by Jamie Carrignan. Our original score was composed and produced by Ryan McQuinn, Mike McQuinn, and Steve Orbortz, and is available for purchase on Bandcamp, which goes directly to supporting the composers. Dungeons & Doritos is played using the Saga's role-playing game, a universal system designed to allow for unparalleled role-playing and world-building freedom. Find out more at sagasrpg.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes and images from Dungeons & Doritos, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. You can also find official Dungeons & Doritos merchandise, like comics, shirts, stickers, and dice bags at nerdyshow.com/store. Discover more Nerdy Show role-playing and audio dramas on Nerdy Show Theater. And find all of our programming at nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, they've got it covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.